Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Rallis India Limited's Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Rallis India Limited's Q2 FY22 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Sanjiv Lal, the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. S. Nagarajan, the Chief Operating Officer, and Ms. Subhra Gourisaria, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation sent earlier. I now invite Mr. Sanjiv Lal to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, Sanjiv.
Thanks, Gavin, and good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for joining our Q2 FY22 earnings call. And I'm joined in this meeting along with our COO, Mr. Nagarajan, and our Chief Financial Officer, Subhra Gourisaria. Let me begin the call with a quick overview of the sector, post which I will move on to Rallis-specific developments. At a broad industry level, Q2 was a tough quarter for the business, given the challenging external environments, mainly in terms of high input prices and erratic monsoons. While the overall monsoon was just 1% below the long period average, broadly in line with the forecast, the unevenness observed during the quarter had a significant impact on the overall agricultural activities. While July and August received lower than normal monsoons, the month of September witnessed excess rainfall. Especially Maharashtra, Western UP, Gujarat, Western Rajasthan and Punjab received lower than average rainfall during July and August, leading to a decline in the overall crop acreage, which was further compounded by flood-like situations in the month of September in key agricultural areas of Bihar, UP, Madhya Pradesh, as well as Maharashtra. Lower and inconsistent rainfall during the first 2 months of the quarter resulted in missed or lower sprays, especially in the herbicides category. Sale of herbicides, insecticides and fungicides was relatively less impacted given that these categories are generally consumed at the later part of the season. In post-emergent herbicides, soybean crop, for example, witnessed severe impact, while the impact was relatively lower in the case of the paddy crop. Further, cotton insecticides were severely affected during the ongoing kharif season. The one positive from the monsoons having largely made up for the shortfall was that there is now adequate water for the rabi season. In addition to the monsoon-related challenges, industry has also had to deal with challenges related to raw material and freight cost. While one would ideally like to pass on the rising input costs, it is not always possible due to market conditions and affordability of the farmer for the crop that is being cultivated. You all would be well aware of the very extreme and unique challenges being faced by the industry, particularly from inputs from China. In some instances, inputs have either been unavailable for extended periods of time or prices have seen a significant spike. This combined with a limited availability of containers and high freight rates has resulted in significant stress both in terms of cost as well as supply chain. On the exports front, barring the freight and logistical challenges, business at a broad level continued to perform well. On a long-term basis, those sector fundamentals continue to remain strong. Moving now on to Rallis-specific developments. Given the circumstances, our crop care business performed satisfactorily, but our seeds business suffered significant headwinds in our key hybrid categories. Erratic monsoons impacted the demand and revenue momentum, while rising input prices has led to margin compression for our crop care segment. Moving on to our operational performance, we continue to make steady progress towards our stated objective of improving our product mix by introducing newer products and widening our distribution reach. Having added 6 and 4 new products during FY20 and FY21 respectively, we have added 6 crop protection products during the first half of the current financial year. As you may be aware, the crop protection category, we launched a rice herbicide as well as a fungicide for fruits and vegetables during Q1. Furthermore, we had also introduced one product under the crop nutrition category. Continuing the same momentum, we introduced 3 crop protection and 3 crop nutrition products during Q2. We are also pleased to note that we have been able to scale up the launches done during last year, chiefly aided by the progressive unlocking that we have witnessed. This allowed our sales force to engage in more on-ground activities and undertake demonstrations of new products to farmers. However, we believe the situation will further improve, allowing for even better demand generation activities in the field. In addition, as mentioned in our previous call, we have also conducted a thorough analysis of our portfolio and identified opportunities for improvement and are undertaking steps towards plugging the gaps in our portfolio. Further, we are also undertaking steps towards building our new brand architecture to bring greater simplification and recall. We rolled out 26 products under the new brand architecture during FY21, and by H1, we have had almost 43 of our products coming into the new brand architecture. Lastly, in terms of our distribution network, our network of close to 6,700 distributors between crop care and seeds business and approximately 80,000 retailers cover almost 80% of the districts. Moving on to the seeds business, Q1 was an extremely difficult period for the entire industry as the growth got impacted owing to increased demand of illegal herbicide-tolerant cotton seeds and a crop shift due to the prevailing commodity prices outlook as well as the erratic weather patterns. Despite the near-term challenges, we continue to improve our portfolio by introducing newer products, which include medium-duration paddy and additional cotton hybrids as well. Our efforts in the seeds business are directed towards building our Rabi portfolio, delivering volume growth across segments. Setting up a new retail loyalty program and higher hybridization is to be supported by the products which are tolerant to disease as well as abiotics, and that's where our efforts in R&D are also focused. We are also focusing on in-licensing tie-ups for mustard and vegetable seeds till the time we are able to commercialize our own hybrids. One important strategic initiative we have kicked off towards end of September was the One Rallis approach to the market to leverage the synergy benefits from our strong presence in specific geographies and seeds into our crop care business and vice versa. The sales and demand generation teams have been integrated under One Rallis. This will allow us to present a single face to the trade and to the farmers for both the categories. We believe that we could benefit from both sales gains as well as cost efficiencies. Our One Rallis initiative currently is introduced in the eastern part of the country, and we will use this as a template to arrive at a national architecture in due course of time. As far as the international business is concerned, we registered revenue growth of 22% during the quarter. Demand for most of our products continues to remain strong. With regard to Metribuzin, volume still remains subdued. However, we have completed reorganizing our Metribuzin production facility at a single plant in a single building during the quarter. And the growth in Q2 was chiefly due to pendimethalin and hexaconazole, where enhanced capacities are being well utilized. We are also working towards increasing the share of formulated products in our exports business, and there's been some progress on that as well. Lastly, as mentioned earlier, we are also undertaking steps towards augmenting the overall product portfolio for the business and are on track to add at least one new active ingredient during the next financial year to complement our existing portfolio. And we continue to explore contract manufacturing opportunities with potential partners, and discussions are progressing satisfactorily. Our efforts for domestic sourcing of some of our raw materials are also progressing, with two raw materials for one of our products being now locally sourced. Further, on the raw material front, as mentioned earlier, costs have been going up. We have undertaken a high-frequency approach to calibrate our pricing as much as possible, keeping customer affordability, brand pricing power, and our competitive factors in mind. However, as witnessed during Q2, cost pressures have resulted in a margin decline, both due to our approach to protect rupee margins and the difficulty in the market to absorb steeper hikes. However, in the domestic crop protection market towards Q2 end, we have undertaken further price corrections that average about 8 to 10% of the cost pressures as the cost pressures have intensified. A quick word on the CapEx before I hand over to Shubhra. We have completed the first phase of our formulation plant at the HCZ, and we are awaiting certain regulatory approvals before we can start invoicing from that facility. And we are on track to complete our multi-purpose plant at the HCZ during H1 of the next financial year. Further, we have also completed the Ankleshwar debottlenecking projects for two of our active ingredients. And our CapEx for FY22 should be in the region of 250-odd crores as indicated earlier. With that, I'll request Shubhra to give a more detailed analysis of the financials. Over to you, Shubhra.
Thank you, Sanjeev. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our earnings call. I will quickly walk you through the financial performance for the quarter, post which we can commence the Q&A session. Starting with the top line, revenue for the quarter stood at Rs. 728 crores. This is against 725 crores generated during the period Q2 FY21, which is a marginal growth of 0.4%. On a first half basis, we have registered growth of 5.8%. However, if we slice this growth, crop care growth was healthy at 8%, with YTD at 11%. How it was seeds, which saw negative growth of 65% for the quarter, primarily driven by higher returns in bajra and cotton. Within crop care, both domestic and international business showed good growth of 13% and 8% respectively for the first half. And within international business, if we remove the impact of the spillover growth, which we spoke during the last quarter, the growth was at 27%. Seeds, of course, had a bad quarter with lower liquidation than planned. Cotton business, as we spoke, got impacted due to proliferation of illegal HT cotton and high acceptability of these hybrids by farmers. In bajra, there was a significant reduction in sowing area due to a pause in the rainfall during the months of June and July. We managed the adverse situation with granular planning and focusing on capturing liquidation opportunities in other areas wherein rainfall was good. EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 88 crores as against 117 crores, which is 25% lower. As mentioned by Sanjeev, we indeed witnessed a sharp surge in input costs and also freight costs, both inland and ocean. While we tried to mitigate through and pass through most of it, cognizance of our ability of the farmers to bear the same and ensuring the quality produced has limited our ability to fully pass on the cost inflation. Hence, our material margin is down by 185 bps year on year. However, if you look at it, large contributor to this is the adverse mix, since seeds make better margins and its revenue contribution dropped from 10% in the base period to 3% in the current quarter. Employee spends went up due to increments given to the employees as against the base quarter of FY21, where there were no increments to our employees. Our profit before tax was also impacted due to lower export incentives under the RODTP scheme and lower yields on investment income. Overall, we saw PAT of 7.7% as against 11.6% in the base period. Moving on to the business-wise performance, domestic business, despite the challenging environment, grew by 3% over the previous year and 13% for the first half of the year. The growth is largely driven by our efforts in recent years towards improving the product mix and widening our distribution reach. We introduced new products during the quarter, which have all been well received by the market. Besides improving our product portfolio, our efforts towards the coming years will also be directed towards scaling up new introduced products, which will accelerate the revenue momentum and also help in improving the overall margin of the business. We will continue our efforts to build differentiated and relevant products to serve the customers. International business, our strategy of adding new customers and extension into new geographies is actually playing out well. Our growth was 22% in Q2 and 27% in first half, removing the spillover impact. This required the team to demonstrate high levels of agility in navigating through the heightened crisis of non-availability of containers on a timely basis. We actually formed a cross-functional team and reverse planning to schedule X factory dates as per these selling dates has helped us during these turbulent times. We are also quite pleased with the growth momentum displayed by niche business, crop nutrition, where the growth is quite competitive and the opportunity to grow is good. We will continue to nurture and build this space. In seeds, we are cognizant of the challenges and took several actions to contain the costs in Q2. However, we are conscious that our business needs some strategic rethink, and we have prepared a roadmap that acknowledges the fact that some of our growth strategy may not have fired as desired. As management and board, we spend some time to identify actions in the short term and the medium term. We are confident that many of these steps will help in building and moving this business on a profitable growth trajectory in future. A quick word on CAPEX before I hand it to the operator. Overall CAPEX for the year should be in the range of 250 crores, as already mentioned by Sanjeev. We are ready to commence commercial production in a state-of-the-art formulation plant at Dahej. Even in MPP, our progress is quite satisfactory. That concludes my opening remarks. We can now commence the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. This is a reminder to all participants to please limit your questions to two per participants only. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. The first question is from the line of Varshish Shah from Vedo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, and my first question is on the strategic rethinking which Shubhra alluded in the seeds division. So I just wanted at least what are the current thoughts? Is it a rejig of the strategy and the portfolio or on a longer term basis more about maybe even getting out of the business or having some different strategic JV of sorts? So what is the thoughts at the management level on the seed side at the strategic level, both in the short term as well as in the long term?
So Harshit, you know, when we talk about strategic rethink, one of course is, you know, to look at what is our growth aspiration on some of these categories. Certainly we had very, very high aspirations in terms of our growth in the, let's say, the cotton category in particular, because we were relatively small in that. And we have been working both on the new hybrid side as well as on the market side. And therefore, some of these developments which we are seeing, which is impacting us in particular, and I'm sure the others in the industry have also been impacted by the cotton seed. In terms of our own growth aspirations, in a way, we are moderating that because, you know, there's a long cycle time because the products which we want to sell next year have to go through the the seed production program in the current year. So we have done some moderation in terms of where we expect the growth on the cotton category to be. So we will take it step by step. We have a number of very good hybrids that we had marketed this year. In fact, while the volume was very small, the market returns were very, very nominal in some of these newer categories. So we will continue to focus on some of our newer products as we go into next year. But the overall growth that we're expecting from this category, we are moderating it till there's some clarity in terms of how the illegal cotton will play out. We've already seen a doubling of the sale of the unregulated cotton seeds over the previous year to this current year. So we will be a little cautious in this category. And this year, we had fairly high returns on the millet side as well because of the delayed monsoon in the northwest part of the country. And the farmers simply did not take up that crop. Plus, there's also some softening of the commodity prices on millet. So that had impacted this year. But we do have very good products, and we continue to remain bullish on that. And as far as our Rabi portfolio is concerned, that has been an area where we have been working. And we have indicated that in the next 2 years, we will see significant new product launches and scaling up happening during the Rabi season. And we have also called out vegetable seeds as a significant area for us. It is fairly small now, but we continue to build on that through new in-licensing partnerships. And we have also taken a new approach to how we are going to be doing our market engagement. And as mentioned, we are looking at the eastern zone for this pilot, which we have already put in place with one phase to the customer, which is our distributor, as well as to the farmer through a common sales and marketing team for our product categories across crop care as well as seeds. So in summary, our strategic rethink is largely on the growth expectations that we have from the cotton category, and also to fast track the introduction of some of the new hybrids. We had almost 5 new hybrids for cotton going through the approval process. So we will be focusing on scaling these up at a reasonable rate. But some of our products which have not fired very well during the last 2 years, we will be relooking at those particular products in terms of how we want to grow them. So, Vashit, that is the long answer to your question on strategic rethink. But the other part of your question was whether we are looking at hiving off this part of the business. There is no such discussion.
So that's really helpful. And my second question is on the cost inflation for our both international and domestic business. So obviously, I understand it's an industry-wide phenomena and everybody's affected. And based on at least some of the interactions I'm having with the industry peers, it seems that this will flow into Q3, Q4 as well. So my question is, first, does the industry in general and including Rallis has the ability to sort of fully pass it on in phases, or probably the industry will have to absorb some of the cost going into the Rabi season, given that there are some stocks as well, I mean, in the channel, for the industry at least. So what is your sense sitting Korea? And of course, I know it's quite fluid given the China situation, but at least what is the sense you're getting from your team and what is your assessment of the business?
So, Harshit, the points you're raising, I think, are not only industry-wise, right? They're also global, right? So, if there's a price increase in the raw materials that is happening, we are, to the extent possible, passing it on to the customers. And even related with things like freight, you know, that has become another headache because the way the ocean freight rates have been changing, We have also, to the extent possible, moves to FOB contracts rather than CIF contracts, so that the cost of the ocean freight is decided at the point of shipping rather than being planned in advance. So to that extent, we are making sure that we are able to protect our margins, because it's not only us. I think even the customers sitting on the other side of the globe are facing the same challenges from everyone. And if there is a need for the agrochemical and there is an ability of the farmer to buy it, certainly those prices are being passed on. And all said and done, the commodity prices globally are favoring use of these kind of chemicals, because the pricing, commodity pricing, is all very favorable. And as far as domestic is concerned, there is a point that you make about high inventory levels. And I can only say that as far as Rallis is concerned, our inventory levels are not a concern for us, because we have not done any kind of channel stuffing. We've been going only on the basis of what we are outlooking in terms of requirement. So there's no extra inventory that we are holding beyond what we think is reasonable.
Sure, that's really helpful. Just one last question on the strategic outlook on the capital allocation. So you're already having a very extremely strong balance sheet, and what I understand from you is that you might go a bit slow on the seed side, given the reasons you mentioned. Probably, I think you'll have even higher release of working capital in your seeds business. So going ahead, I mean, is there a sort of a strategic rethink on having a higher capital allocation to your crop care segment, and or is it that you're already committed in that zone and there's no incremental increase in the long-term CAPEX plan? I mean, I don't want any numbers, but it is what's on the drawing board. And if there is no additional incremental increase, then does it mean that probably we could see some higher payouts to shareholders? That's the question.
Mr. Shah, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but after this question, may I please request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up?
Sure.
Thank you.
So, Ashish, I just answer that question. So, you know, certainly our inventory level on the seed side has gone up because of the very sharp increase in returns. Inventory working capital on the seed side has gone up. So it will take some time before we are able to get that down to earlier levels. As far as the capital allocation is concerned, as we have already indicated, about 250 odd crores will be the capex spent during this year. Some of our projects are coming to fruition in terms of commissioning. As I mentioned, the formulations plant at the chemical zone in the Dahej, we have already taken trial production of one of the lines. In a phased manner, we will be commissioning the other lines as well. Once we are getting the regulatory approval, we'll be able to start the dispatches from that site. The other big investment for us is the multi-purpose plant, which is under construction. All going well, we will be looking at commissioning this plant towards H1 of next financial year. And as I had already called out, for the work which is being done by our R&D teams in terms of new product introduction on the active ingredient side, right? So that those will be commercialized in the new multi-purpose plant. So we are expecting at least one product to get commercialized from the new facility next year. As far as further capital is concerned, you may be aware that out of the 800 odd crores that we had articulated 2 years back, about 550 odd crores is what is committed, and we do have headroom in terms of new projects. Some of them are still on the drawing board. We will be building another multi-purpose plant for the herbicides plant, so that decision we will be taking during the early part of the next financial year in terms of when we need to kickstart that project. So there will be further announcements related with our capital program towards Q1 of next year. But work is in hand for some of these things, including some projects which we are looking at for backward integration, because the risk related to China sourcing is now very well understood, and we have been facing these issues, I would say, for the last couple of years, where either it is a safety-related issue coming out of that country, or there's an environment-related issue coming out of this country. Now it is an energy-related issue coming out of that country. So something or the other will keep hindering smooth trade. And I think we are also very clear that we need to de-risk supply chains, and we have made some progress during the last couple of months. As I mentioned, two of our raw materials, this is for one of our products, we are now indigenously sourcing, so that one product has been de-risked, and in that way we are also working on some of the other inputs that we import to look at India-based sourcing if we are not going to be doing it ourselves. So we are working with partners domestically also for local sourcing. So I think, Kaushik, that answers your question. We can move to the next question, Janice.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec Capital. Before that, I would like to remind all participants again to please limit your question to two per participants only. Over to you, Mr. Jhawar.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the seeds business. You know, if you can quantify the, you know, what was the actual sales return, and what is the share of you know, cotton in our overall seed business? That's the first question.
Naga, you like to take that question?
Yeah, the sales return across all the crops, Aditya, was roughly in the range of about 39-40%. The cotton. You are asking about the revenue contribution of cotton, is it?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. Revenue contribution of cotton is. Just give me a minute. I'm just looking at the numbers. Yeah. So the revenue contribution of cotton in the H1 is about 12-13%. Of the seed business, seed revenue.
Okay, so the 30-40% sales return, in the sense that if you can quantify, sir, in rupees crores.
Our seed revenue. Actually, we look at the overall half of the year, because as you know, in Q1 most of it is placement, and at the end of H1 is we generate the revenue. As you may have seen in the investor presentation, our H1 revenue is about 294 crores, right?
Yes,
294, yeah, 269 plus 25, right? So 295, that 295 crores, let's say 300 crores, that is after accounting for a 40% return. So about 430 crores minus the 300. So about 130 crores would be the return. I mean, you can backwork the return.
Okay, fair enough. My next question is on export business. So, you know, the question is twofold. Firstly, if you can, you know, highlight the, you know, the what are the key drivers.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm not. Allow me a minute, I'll just.
Yeah, I can't hear with you.
Just 1 minute, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So the first, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So the first question is on the international business. So what is the long-term strategy from a 3 to 5 year perspective? And we had articulated during last con call that we have already started a new initiative in terms of contract manufacturing. But beyond that, how are we looking to shape up this particular aspect of our business? And what are the milestones that we are looking at maybe on a yearly basis? Thank you.
So, Rohit, as far as our international business is concerned, we have an existing set of products that we are currently exporting, right? And as you'd be aware, that we have made investments in expanding the capacity of some of these products, right? For example, metribuzin, we've expanded the capacity. Pendimethalin, we've expanded the capacity. Hexaconazole, we've expanded the capacity. So today, both the hexaconazole as well as pendimethalin, we are practically running at capacity of the new facility. Metribuzin, we expect that by end of Q4, that whole facility should be getting fully leveraged. So there's an existing portfolio of products that we have already scaled up, and we will also take decisions depending on the way it is panning out, whether further investment needs to be done. And the other part of the international business is the new product introduction, the new AIs, which I had articulated in my earlier response, that the new multipurpose plant is intended for producing some of the newer products that are coming through our R&D efforts for the reverse engineering, etc. One product we will be commercializing from the MPP plant next financial year. So the idea is to continue to leverage our existing portfolio. Second is introduce new actors into our portfolio. And the third is to also expand the formulated product that we export. As you'd be aware, last year we have started business on a formulated product for metribuzin going to Brazil. We have also got registration for one of our formulated products for acephate, again in Brazil. So that will be another big opportunity for us to expand the formulated business. And apart from that, in some of the other African and Southeast Asian countries, we are already doing a reasonably sized business on the formulated products. So these are the three parts of our international business that we will be looking at expanding. Trust that answers your question, Rohit.
Right, sir. Thanks. That was really helpful. So the second question is on the existing contract manufacturing business. So how is it shaping up, and how are we looking at it in the next, maybe in the near term and medium term? Thank you.
Yeah, so our existing contract manufacturing business, you would be aware that one of our important products, which was the polymer, that business has not been moving at all for the last couple of quarters. And this was really related to the airline industry where it goes to. And there is also very high inventory with our customer who buys this product from us on contract. So we see this business, this part of the polymer business reviving only towards middle of next financial year. In the meantime, our other products are continuing to do well, so that is not a concern for us at this point in time. And we have, as I had mentioned in our earlier calls, that we have now have a structure for actively seeking out new opportunities in contract synthesis. Here again, there is good developments which are happening, but I would say it is not yet fully concluded for us to be talking about. But we are seeing very positive traction on the newer opportunities that we are currently working on. So there is progress, but nothing to report as of now. And we do see this as a good opportunity, because not only for us, but I think also for potential customers, as they're looking at de-risking their own supply chains, we believe that Rallis will get good opportunities in this space of custom synthesis as well. And here again, we are not specifically looking for patented molecules, because we do understand that many of the innovators may not look at patented molecules to be produced by Rallis, Rallis being a competitor to them, but there are a lot of other opportunities that we are exploring. So this part of the business will start giving us growth, I would say, in the next 2 years.
Right. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Ashwin, go ahead.
Yeah. So first of all, I just wanted to ask, can you just give us the geographical revenue for this for H1, or like can you guide us for the geographical revenue side?
See, Ashwin, we don't normally share that data, but I would say that most of our international revenues are coming from the Americas. That is a large contributor to our international business. The hexaconazole category largely goes into paddy, so that's a Southeast Asia kind of product. But most of our revenues are coming from the Americas and some from Europe.
Okay. Thank you so much. And then my second question is, like as you told, that there is a molecule we are going to develop, one molecule you are just planning to develop on. So can you just give me some, like, any rough idea of how much time it will, like, it would take on an average basis, like, if you got into a molecule development and all skills?
No, so the, see, the work on synthesis for multiple products is going on at the R&D center, right? So, and as I had mentioned, the multipurpose plant is called multipurpose because we will be able to do more than one product in the same plant. So we will be commercializing at least one product next year coming from the new multipurpose plant. So that will scale up over time because, as you are aware, that while we may have a cycle time for our own product development, which is well under track, there is also another cycle time related with being able to commercially scale up active ingredients because it requires registration in multiple countries. There are certain countries where the regulatory process is simpler, and that is where we will start making our initial sales. But the scaling up of all these products may happen over a 3-year period. So initially there will be low sales of some of these newer AIs, but it will scale up over a period of time.
Okay, thank you, sir. I will back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just have a couple of questions on the seed side. First is, if you can just provide some perspective in terms of the aging of the portfolio, like, you know, say across crops, say cotton, you know, paddy, maize. And related question is, you know, you talked about us seeing almost a 40% sales rate. So is it largely concentrated in, say, cotton and bajra, but maybe not so much in, say, maize or paddy? Because, you know, if you look at the overall sowing data for these two crops as well, it has actually been flat or grown. So just wanted to understand, you know, how should one look at the you know, portfolio level impact, crop level impact, sorry. Thank you.
Nagar, you'll take that, please?
Yeah, I'll do that. Maybe I'll take the second question first. Yes, it is largely in bajra and in cotton. So what we have witnessed is that, as already mentioned by Sanjeev, the impact of the HT cotton, illegal cotton, has been quite sizable in the case of cotton. And also in the beginning of the season, when the cotton sowings were happening or underway, you might recall that there was very good commodity prices in soybean and groundnut. In some of the geographies which are common, there definitely was a crop shift. And we did find that these were important contributors. Of course, we also found that while these were external factors, we also had to acknowledge that there are certain hybrid level features that we will have to also work upon, and that kind of plays into the overall seed business strategy review that Sanjeev and Subhra earlier alluded to. As far as millet was concerned, Bajra, certainly as is well known, the commodity prices were extremely low this year, and they continue to be. We also found that when the pausing of the monsoon happened between to end of June, third week of June, you can say, to about July 15th or so, or maybe 10th of July, which is actually the key season for a lot of millet liquidation. Liquidation got affected. So that is the other crop where we have had a challenge in terms of sales return being high. As far as paddy and maize, the sales returns have been stable. In the case of maize, we did have a challenge in terms of supply, of availability. So it was not so much a market side challenge that we had faced. So it was not a sales return challenge, but we did have some supply challenges consequent to some difficult situation that prevailed during the production season of 2020, Rabi 2020. So this is to sort of provide some input on the crop level situation. As far as the portfolio and the aging of the portfolio, what you were asking, certainly as you know, our cotton portfolio is comparatively young. We are in the process of coming up with hybrids. In fact, this year we had 5 hybrids that were introduced to the market. So cotton would be a comparatively younger portfolio. If you look at our paddy portfolio, you can say that it is somewhat intermediate. One of our top-selling hybrid is probably about 6 or 7 years it has been in the market. As far as our maize portfolio is concerned, on the kharif side, it is a little bit of an older portfolio, and our work is presently to identify replacements in the kharif. And as far as rabi maize is concerned, the focus is in coming up with hybrids which are competitive. So that I think is as far as maize. And Bajra, we did undertake a portfolio refresh a few years back, 3 years back. So much of the Bajra portfolio is also comparatively younger. I hope that gives you a broad idea.
Yeah, just one question I had on the seed business. You know, if I look at our commentary throughout in the past, has been that, you know, with respect to the cost base, if I look at the business, it's relatively a high-cost business for us, relatively other players in the market. And one of the reasons, if you look at the cost elements, is the employee cost, sales, marketing, and, you know, promotion rate. And our commentary in the past has been that, you know, that the crop care, domestic crop care and the seed business require two distinct, two separate sales and marketing teams. And because seeds, you know, being a year-round generation activities and consumption happens in a month or a quarter, specific quarter, the requirements in terms of demand generation and everything is quite different. Now what we are seeing that we are coming up with a more unified and single team for both of them, you know, catering to both of them. So I'm just trying to understand what really changed, which is actually, you know, making us move in that direction.
Okay. Shall I take that, Sandeep?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think, as you know, in the industry, there are both the models that have prevailed in terms of having independent category focused sales operations as well as unified. And if you look at the situation that we have gone through this year in terms of the challenges that we have faced with regard to sales return, I would say that it has provided us with an opportunity to revisit some of these dominant thoughts that have guided the way we have gone about our operations. So we kind of took this as a chance to review some of these, you can say, views. And what we did take into account, therefore, is to introduce this in certain states or certain geographies where we do have differences in terms of the contribution to each of the businesses, each of the categories. So, for example, the choice of each zone, really, if you look at it at a state level, it comprises of Assam, West Bengal, Bihar, Jharkhand, Orissa, and Chhattisgarh. And in each of these places, we have different contributions to each of the categories of business. So you do have a place like Orissa, where you have a large contribution to the seed business, Orissa, Jharkhand, and you do have another geography where it's almost equi contribution, Chhattisgarh kind of a place. And then you have the other side where you have in West Bengal, you have a large contribution to the crop care business. So what we therefore have embarked on is to evaluate our own thinking through this pilot and in a carefully calibrated way by providing adequate resources for demand generation as well as for sales engagement with the channel partners. And we really are setting it up in a fashion which will take into account some of the concerns, you can say, that we may have had in the past. So that is how we are going about it, and that is the context. We took the opportunity that you can say this year's situation presented us with to evaluate.
What implications it would have on the cost base, especially in the seed business?
But may I please request you to rejoin the queue?
Yeah, this is my last question. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Sorry, your question was what implications does it have on the cost base? So the way we have the way we are looking at it is that it will provide us with gains on both the sales front as well as on the cost front, because in places where we have strong preference for one category, but not necessarily in the other category, we are expecting to leverage the channel strength that we have in that particular category. As far as the cost is concerned, there would be some optimization for sure, because in certain geographies which were, let us say, under-contributing from a revenue contribution point of view, we may have had a certain number of cost heads that we would be incurring, which will obviously now get optimized. Overall, we are expecting what you can call a productivity growth, which is, you can say, revenue over expenses. And our aim is to get between 15 to 20% improvement on the productivity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainish Pundra from Upwood Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just had a small question. Like, when we talk about building a Rabi crop portfolio, are we also looking at brownfield opportunities, or are we developing it in-house?
Can you repeat the question, please? It wasn't very clear.
Yes. Yes. I just had a question regarding the seeds department. When we talk about that we are going to build our Rabi crop portfolio, like seeds for the Rabi portfolio and the vegetables, are we only looking at developing it through like royalty contracts like you were talking about, or also brownfield opportunities in this area?
No, I'm sorry, I still didn't get it, but we are having our own research program to develop our Rabi portfolio as well as the vegetable portfolio. We have a full-fledged research program. We are also looking at in-licensing opportunities, if that is the second part of what you are asking, on both. In fact, in vegetables, we do have a number of in-licensing partners that we take to market. So it's a combination of both. It is not only in-house, or it is not only in licensing.
Okay, sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, how is the current season in terms of the Rabi? How is it picked up, and how is the inventory in the system? Is it slightly higher, or how are you seeing the current trends?
So, if I think you are referring to the Indian market, the Indian market, our inventory levels we are quite satisfied with, channel inventory. We are quite satisfied with our channel inventory. As you are aware, the reservoir positions are very good. At this point in time, they are actually higher than the long period average, right? They are running at about 80% of capacity, which augurs very, very well. In fact, the agri credit flow in quarter two has also been very good. With the abatement, hopefully, of COVID, we should have a positive Rabi season. This is our thinking. Of course, the issue is going to be in terms of raw material availability and supply side challenges more than from the demand side.
So should we expect a strong growth, or how, I mean, what do you think will be the growth likely in single digits, or in any rough idea in your opinion, because you're seeing the current trends there? Like, could it be pretty strong, because last year also was pretty strong? So just trying to understand from that.
If you compare some of the indicators at this point in time, last year also, like you correctly said, we had very good reservoir storage. It was 87% last year. 80% it is at this point in time, which are both higher than the long period average of 77%. Last year, the agri credit was in the second quarter about 5 to 6%. This year, it is running between 11 to 12%. September rains have been good. October rains also, I think, have been quite high. In fact, in many places, there are challenges consequent to that as well. Difficult to sort of put down a particular percentage, but certainly we are thinking that it should be similar at least to last year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Just a couple of things. One is on the, you know, margin front for Rabi, you know, with these input cost pressures as well as there's probably, you know, slightly higher inventory lying with the channel in general at the industry level, just given the weak kharif season. So, you know, anything, in, I mean, any color in terms of any discounting or that kind of thing that the industry is resorting to, and whether we also are having to participate in that, and if so, what margin implications that might have on our domestic business? That was one.
There are bound to be inventory differentials, channel inventory differentials, and even company inventory differentials between the different companies, depending on when they may have bought or when different competitors may have bought their products, their raw materials. So that is something which is bound to happen, and it is already in the market, evident in the market, with differential prices prevailing for different formulated products in the domestic market. So our approach has been in terms of looking at our cost increases and trying to sort of see how we can segment the products, the markets that we have, into those where we are able to pass on a reasonable portion of the price, the cost increases. And certainly there are products, markets where we would have challenges as well. Not just because of competitor action, but also because of cross-segment movement that the farmers may undertake if the price points become far too high. So that is the way we are kind of going forward. It is a fairly challenging situation. Very difficult, as you can appreciate, to precisely determine. But this is what we are focused on. Trying to sort of identify geographies, crops, products, cost changes, inputs from the field with regard to the market position of inventory, the segment itself, and then kind of arriving at our own approach with regard to pricing.
Got it. Thank you. And the second thing was just two parts to the second one. One is it possible to give us a breakdown of domestic crop care revenue growth for the first half between volumes and prices? That was one. And second, on the international business, you know, with all these developments happening in China, you know, lots of chemical prices rising, do we see ourselves as a net beneficiary of that, in the sense that maybe some of our product prices also, you know, start to move up, like say a metribuzin or pendimethalin or some of those? Or is it more of a concern to us on the raw material side?
No, I think there are changes in both the raw material cost as well as our prices, right? This is evident across all the products, even on the international front. Now, what may be more important, I guess, is the spread, right? I mean, how the spread might change, between the price and the price point and the cost point, and that varies for different products. At this point in time, it is a little bit difficult to sort of predict quite a long time into the future, because there are also supply availability challenges, which is, I think, another important factor. So that way it is a little difficult to predict how the spread might change, but in a general sense, it is not only a cost increase. It is both a cost increase and a price increase. And your other question was volume growth for the domestic business in the quarter two was out of the overall growth, we had about 3.3% in quarter two, and the volume is 2.4. The rest of it was price.
And for Vanage, sir?
Which one? Sorry? For the whole year? Half year?
For the first half, yeah.
Yeah. First half, we had almost 13% growth in the domestic business, 11% volume, and 1.7%, 2% you can say, price.
Got it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Just to verify the numbers.
Mr. Tarang, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but your audio is very feeble. May I please request you to speak a bit louder?
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes. Sir, you suggested that the 294 crore H1 FY22 seeds business revenue is after accounting for 39% to 40% sales return. When I back calculate, that translates to a placement of about 480 crores. Is this accurate or?
Yeah, this is accurate. This is accurate. I was just wanting to also clarify that question that came in earlier. Yeah, that is absolutely right. 294 crores is the 60%, the portion that is recognized as revenue, that is after accounting for 40%. Yeah, so rounding off approximately 300 crores revenue, so 500 crores placement, 40% of that, about 200 crores is the return, measured in NRV terms, right? These are not in cost terms, these are in revenue terms. The rest of it is what is the revenue. You're right.
Yes, sir. And if I were to compare this to a figure of last year, what would that be in terms of percentage?
Last year, we had about 35%.
Okay. And so when you say that cotton is about 12 to 13% of your overall seeds business, that's on this 300 crore figure, correct?
You're right.
And your biggest would be rice, obviously.
Paddy, yes.
Okay. And what proportion would that be approximately?
Paddy would be about 40% in H1.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from TSP Investment. Please go.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have just one question. In the upcoming Rabi season, what we are hearing is that there are shortages of fertilizers, especially DAP and material like that, and that may have impact or a bearing on the overall acreage and the output. Given that you are quite upbeat on the Rabi season because of water levels, could this be a spoil spot in the whole upcoming season? Just your thoughts on the same.
No, I think, while there is certainly a challenge that the farmers are not getting access to fertilizer, but from my past experience, even if there is some underdosing of phosphatic fertilizer for one season, it will not have any significant bearing on the productivity. But this is something that I have understood from my past experience in working in the subsidized fertilizers. So it will be a problem, but it should not be a major problem.
Okay. And will this be a more problematic in some specific geography compared to others?
Well, I think these questions are better asked to those who are in the industry because they will know exactly what they are placing where. So for us, it is only speculation as to where the problem will be.
Okay, because I was just thinking from agrochemical consumption perspective also, if fertilizer itself will be a problem, let's say we are hearing more from north. So just thinking from that perspective.
I think there may be opportunities for the farmers to use alternate crop nutrition kind of products. So there may be an opportunity for other products to be used.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Chitodra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. First of all, is on the growth part of it. So as you mentioned, you know, that water reserve level has been pretty good and that is occurring well for Rabi season. In fact, if I look at the last year's growth, we have seen almost about average growth of about 20% last year. So do you expect that kind of a growth or probably, you know, high single digit growth is expected in the domestic side? And second part is basically on the what is your view in terms of the export market, especially if you talk about in terms of the demand side for North America or maybe, you know, South America side?
I think on the Rabi domestic market, from the demand side point of view, clearly all these variables that we are talking about are very, very positive. Now, in terms of how the availability and how the prices of whatever is available is going to shape up will be a very important factor that may determine the growth for a specific industry, let's say crop protection or for us, or for a specific company, depending on the portfolio and you know, the price points of the products and stuff like that. So that would probably be an important factor to take into account. But from the demand side, yes, things we do think are going to be quite positive. Exports, export momentum is quite positive again at this point in time. Just like we had said in Q2, we had had 22% increase. That continues in terms of positive momentum. Of course, there are challenges in terms of freight, that is logistics, and of course on the supply side. So those are the challenges, but again, the demand seems to be quite good.
Sure. And my second question is regarding the cost, as you rightly mentioned about the RM cost going up for most of the chemicals. But do we expect, you know, additional costs coming up, you know, because of the unlock which is happening in the domestic market in terms of sales and marketing costs or advertising cost or traveling costs? So do we expect, you know, that cost also going up in the S2 or, you know, in the coming quarters?
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of the demand generation work, if you look at our own Q2 over Q1, we have increased progressively the demand generation work that is happening through physical meetings. And hopefully, if the COVID subsides, we are continuing to do it with a lot of safety measures and all of that. But I think as the markets open up and as things improve on the vaccination front, we should expect far more of demand generation. While it may be an increase in cost on specific heads, I guess the expectation also is that it will help in being able to position the differentiation in some of the products, which we have hitherto not been able to with limited physical movement. You had to depend on digital methods, which we'll continue to do for specific, you know, reminder type of communication. But certainly for more differentiated products as well as for the new products, scaling up of the new products, these things will certainly find a benefit.
So thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, question is on our higher raw availability from China and dependency on China for raw material. I believe that roughly 40 to 45% of our raw material we are dependent on China. Given the current crisis, sir, how much finished goods inventory and raw material inventory we have rightfully with us, and do you see that even a good monsoon in Rabi can have impact on our business because of the raw material availability? If you can just share some more detail on that, sir.
Nagar, you want to take that?
Yeah, I can do that. So typically what we have been doing is to stock up on the key raw materials for the different active ingredients. And we are at this point in time, you can say, I mean, we look at a metric which is raw material on hand plus what is on order. Now, what is on order is something which may have already been shipped, and or it may be something which has not yet been shipped. In the past, we have been able to look at this combined measure and feel, let's say, comfortable that we are able to have a certain level of coverage, let's say a 3-month coverage. But what we are increasingly doing is to focus on what we actually have on hand and what has actually been dispatched. Because things which are on order but not dispatched, we are finding that there are situations where, for various reasons, the manufacturers are not able to supply, particularly if it is China-sourced product. Therefore, the planning horizons have become far, far narrower. We are trying to stock up as much as we can. For many of the products, for many of the active ingredients, we have adequate stocks to cover for the next 3 months. But there are maybe one or two products where we are still waiting for material to be shipped. And given the uncertainties that are there at this point in time, the risk, if you can call it like that, of some kind of a pause in production, that kind of a thing certainly exists for this one or two products. But in terms of the domestic market, now how much of this really is relevant for this particular season? Because not all products, not all active ingredients go into a relevant formulation for this particular season. That way, if one were to look at it, I think we are reasonably covered as far as the domestic market is concerned.
Okay, but our B2B business and institutional business and export market can be severely impacted in terms of unavailability of raw materials from China.
No. I didn't say that. Sorry, I think let me just restate this. For most of our products, except for maybe one product, we are covered as far as Q3 is concerned. But even for that one product, material is on order. It all depends on the... We of course have material on hand as well, but we also have material on order, which if it is shipped, we should be covered.
And so all the price increase we have seen on raw materials?
Not severely affected. I mean, I think some of the terms that you mentioned, I just wanted to clarify on that.
Okay. And sir, the price would have gone up significantly in terms of even the material which we have contracted. Do you see that we will be able to pass it on, or there may be some more margin pressure which we can expect in second half?
So we have witnessed significant cost increases, and as I think Sanjeev mentioned in the opening remarks, towards the end of Q2 or early part of Q3, we have taken price increases of the order of 8 to 10%. And we are witnessing still increases in costs even in October. Now we have to navigate through this depending on the product, depending on the the competitive advantage that is there. It would be a little difficult to give an overall answer whether we'll be able to fully pass on the cost increases. But certainly it is a challenge. I think it is it's an important challenge. That is what we are really focused on as management.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Manish Jain from Manulife Advisor Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is that under the CDMO business, will we be targeting innovative molecules in the future?
Sorry, under what?
Under contract manufacturing segment, will we be targeting innovative products in the future?
No, I think Manish, I had clarified that. The products which are still under patent, where we feel that Rallis may never be the preferred partner for any of the innovators, because we are also competitors to most of the innovators. So we will perhaps not see any contract manufacturing happening in that category. If that was your question.
Yeah. So the second question is, just wanted to have a brief on the concept of one Rallis.
Yeah, so fundamentally here, the approach of ours is to have an org structure where we have a single face to the farmer as well as to the trade. And you'll recall that the Rallis standalone, before we merged the Metahelix Life Sciences into Rallis, Rallis was also doing some business in seeds, which was really being sourced from Metahelix. So it's not that the teams have not handled seeds. So as has been articulated by Mr. Nagarajan, there are various models for go-to-market for companies which are having both seeds as well as crop protection. And we are taking this as a pilot with every intention of making it give the kind of benefits on productivity that we have internally discussed, and it will be a common face to the trade as well as to the farmers, and we are resourcing it appropriately for the market development activities.
Okay.
So this is being done only for the eastern eastern states. We will have all our learnings and improvements that we'll do, and then we will take a decision on how we need to extend it to other parts of the country. But as of now, we are focused on making it work for us in the eastern part of the country.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, Janice. And just to sort of conclude this call, it has certainly been a challenging quarter for Rallis, particularly on the seeds front. We do believe that this is something that is a near-term challenge, and we will work towards setting it right for the coming season. And it is an area of growth for us. We will continue to focus on the R&D efforts for bringing in more differentiated products. Our pipeline of R&D appears to be very robust, and we are hopeful that in the next 2 years, we will have a much differentiated portfolio, which will form the basis of our future growth. As far as the immediate challenges are concerned for Rallis, it is really ensuring that some of the supply chain challenges that we have, we are able to navigate through. The costs are practically changing on a day-to-day basis. So the whole approach that we have to sourcing materials is now being looked at, and we are trying to make every effort to ensure continuity of all our operations without any disruption. So there are price increases, which we are factoring into our costing, and to the extent possible, we are passing it on. And even on the logistics side, there are a couple of very innovative things that the teams have been working on in terms of ensuring that availability of containers and shipping for our exports business. So that has actually helped us during the previous quarter. We will continue to build on that. And till next time when we again meet for the analyst call in January, all the very best, and a very happy festive season to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf behalf of Rallis India Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.